To the man who says there's nothing to this, none of you, we know better than that, but the town is full of people. If they could just feel what we feel moving in our midst tonight. And this is just a little bit of what God would like to do a whole lot for us. I never hear that song. Very few songs that are written in the tune of a worldly or patriotic song that I care for. But that one is great. Another one, the tune of Danny Boy. He looked beyond
my faults.
I like to mess that song up a long time ago when they sang it. Looked beyond my socks and saw my knees. So I got to be careful. But these two songs, they're great. An old white-haired brother named Andrew Urshan, Brother Nathan Urshan's father, went into a restaurant. The orchestra was playing, high-class restaurant. The orchestra was playing this melody. And he thought, and all he knew was this song. He didn't know it was a song of the world they were playing. And he was up in his 80s at that time, and he said, listen to that. So they recognized us as Christians. And they're playing that for us. Isn't that nice? And they got through playing it, and he just stood to his feet, and he sang, oh, how I love you. The orchestra played along with him. And said when he got through that chorus, they clapped their hands, and they kept clapping and clapping and stood to their feet, and he had to sing it two or three times for them in his innocence. I'm going to tell you, the world is hungry. They don't know what they're hungry for. They're trying to fill it with pleasure and with alcohol and with dope and a lot of things. They're hungry for what we have. I'm thinking right now of Uncle Homer Hooks. There's a deep settled peace. There's something satisfying. There's something glorious about this. I want to tell you about a man whose name was Bolin, James Bolin. He had a nickname we call Coot Bolin. I knew him all my life. He's a little bit older than I was. He belonged to the Church of God, that's now called the Church of God of Prophecy, of which I grew up among. So I am not saying that reflecting on that group of people at all. But he got so anchored in that church doctrine till he was unreachable with the Jesus name message. You know, the overseer of that original Church of God, before it became divided, and one sect called himself the Church of God of Prophecy, and the other one just the Church of God. But the overseer of that organization, whose name was Lawrence, wrote a tract on his dying bed warning his people not to fight the Jesus name message lest they fight against God. I saw that tract many years ago. And it still stands. Be careful when you stand against anything, especially if it's in this book, you be careful lest you find yourself fighting against God. You can't win fighting against God. In a minute, I'm going to be reading from the 16th chapter of St. John. Coot Bolin was living near Perigeux, Arkansas. He had a group of people that met together in a little community called Fontaine. I preached there many times. In fact, they threatened to hang me to an oak tree limb one time. My dad was with me, and I felt secure with my dad being with me. And I was just a young fellow, and I said, if you think you can do it, just try it. And it scared me to death they'd have tried it, I guess. But we had a group of people. I was preaching there on Friday nights of each week. They called me their Friday night pastor. And there was a group of people who wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. Brother Bolin brought them to the little church I was pastoring for me to baptize them on a Sunday afternoon. And he had a Model A truck, and they rode in the back of this truck. Brought them in. They were in our Sunday school. Now, he was opposed to Jesus' name, But he was bringing others to be baptized in Jesus' name. Isn't that a mixture? If I was really opposed to it, I wouldn't. I'd say, no, you have to get you another way. But anyway, we had service that morning and preached at him and to him. And we went down to the baptismal hole in the ditch where the cows watered to baptize those people that afternoon. I don't remember how many, four or five, maybe five or six. James Bolden got a baby and went up on the bank of that ditch under a little sycamore tree. And he sat down as far as from here to that clock back there from where we were having church, holding that baby. He did not intend to have anything to do with this message that Junior Rutledge was preaching that day. But the glory of the Lord came down. And in the water, I baptized a lady, and she came up out of the water speaking in tongues. And I looked up at that tree, little sycamore tree, where he was sitting in the shade of it, holding a baby. And he just pushed that baby from him. Someone run and got it. He came loping down that bank, jerking his shoes off as he came, throwing one shoe this way and one that way. And he had on nice trousers and a shirt. I don't think a suit in those days. But he loped into the water, said, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Here's the message. Would you, if you were in James Bolden's category, now the last time I saw him, he was in Rockford, Illinois, attending church regular there, preaching this message, and that's been several years in between, both directions. But would you break loose from tradition? Some of us did. Some of us did. We were bound by various teaching. We were sitting under our own little sycamore tree. We were holding on to our own private baby. And we didn't intend to move. But when God gets a hold of us, and when God opens our mind and makes us to see things as they really are, suddenly it doesn't make any difference about mom or dad or organization or system. I want everything God has for me. Praise the Lord for His benefits. In the 16th chapter of St. John, these things have I spoken that you should not be offended. Offended in this sense is like go to sleep, or die out, or quit, take out. And I know some people take out under oppression, and others seem to take out over truth. Now, truth is to set men free. It's never to drive you away from the presence of God. But to set men free. If you have an alcoholic problem, hey, truth can set you free from that. My pastor used to say it'll liberate you and set you free. I never did know the difference in liberation and setting free, but it'll do both of them. I mean, it'll give you a good dose of freedom. Truth will set you free. Did you know the biggest thing that we need to be set free of is our own self? I mean, we want our own way, we want our own pleasure, we want things to go the way we want it, we want the music to sound like I want it to sound, we want the singers to sing the songs I want them to sing, we want the church to be so-and-so. Hey, I want God fulfillment in my life. Don't you? Would you worship God? Let me tell you something. I encourage you to worship God in the Bible, which is in spirit and in truth. Someone preaching for us just here a while back and didn't no more understand that scripture than anything. They thought that meant in the Holy Ghost and in Jesus' name. Now, I believe Jesus' name. You know I do. I don't know how many hundred I've baptized, but it would number into several hundred. And 46 years of pastoring, I'll assure you I've baptized several hundred people in Jesus' name. I've never baptized anybody any other way. And as much as I'd like to pay this church off, well over $100,000 we owe, I wouldn't baptize anyone any other way other than Jesus' name if someone said, I'll pay the church off. I mean, that's just how wonderful it is. But when I baptize people in Jesus' name, I'm telling them that freedom comes with this. Now, it's not just getting wet. It's not that. It's to know the truth. Now, I said worship in spirit and in truth. If you read this, and this comes from the lesson that we had today in Sunday school, concerning the Samaritan woman. God is a spirit, spelt with a capital S. He is a spirit. He is the spirit. And they that worship the spirit. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. A comma, a period, a capital is just as much a part of the Word of God as any other thing in the Bible. You understand when you're reading about God, it's spelled with a great big capital S, if it's spirit. If you're talking about man's spirit, it's spelled with a smaller S, because we don't compare with God. And in this case, when we worship God in spirit, that's putting your heart into it. And in truth, that's the natural side. Dance if you feel like it. Run if you feel like it. Clap if you feel like it. But put your heart into it. Hallelujah. Worship the big S spirit with our little S spirit. Put your very self into glorifying and worshiping and praising God. Why don't we do it right now? Will you praise the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now here are some of the things that was to come upon the early church and did. This is before it happened. You can read in the Acts where it did happen. You can read your history books where they suffered many things for the name of Jesus Christ. They shall put you out of the synagogue. They'll turn you out of the church for truth's sake. Now, this was synagogue, was a Jewish place, but some of you this side of that have had the experience of being turned out of the church for the truth's sake. Sister Murray, I heard your sister, Sister Patton, say years ago at the little church, I guess same community where her funeral was preached, they actually dropped her from their membership 50 years ago or so for accepting this Jesus name truth. Many of our older ones were turned out of the church. In our community, the church that I referred to a while ago that Mr. Boland, Brother Boland, was a member of, I remember when a preacher came to our community in 1939, his name was Reeves, and he had a message, and he preached a 9-week-long revival. And there was only one holiness church in our community, and it was the Church of God. And he preached to us Jesus' name. And when he got through, he baptized over 100 in the name of Jesus. A rural community. And that's where our church was established. That's where I came from. That was before I came into the church. But I remember when this happened, they had a trial of all the people that had been baptized in Jesus' name. They set up a courtroom, an old man, Van Webb killed a man in his earlier days. He'd been a mean rascal. It was in his house where I went to a country dance, and they shouted, and broke the floor down. And he said, "That's all right, just take the beds down in the bedroom, we'll go in there and continue the dance." My uncle stood in a cane-bottom chair that night, and he was calling out the square dance, "Do-si-do, and around you go, and she don't like biscuit, feed her cornbread, and pat her on the head, and all those good things." And that same old man Webb, later when he received the Holy Ghost in the Church of God, we went into his house singing the praises of God and danced for God instead of dancing in the world. But when it came to truth, he never did accept this glorious way. He turned it down. He was the judge during those court trials. And they'd say, "Here's Tommy Thompson. What are we going to do with him? What's the offense?" I was a little boy listening to this. "Well, he went off after heresy." "What type of heresy?" "He was baptized in Jesus' name." Mr. Webb would say, "Turn him out. Rub his name off the book." So they turned him out. They would have turned my mother out, but she never had giant up. She just went. But they turned out the whole bunch, all 100 of them, for being baptized in Jesus' name. You know what I'd say? "Let her go, Bill. Rub her out. I've got to walk with God." Amen. Would you? Would you? Amen. I believe you would. I think you would obey the Lord. Anyway, these people would be turned out of the synagogue for the truth's sake. And I'm not going to go any further than that. You know the story here. Jesus talking to them. Things is going to come upon them. But I want to just call to your attention some people that obeyed God under under circumstances that maybe some of us would not. For instance, had you lived way back in the time of Noah, 1500 and some years this side of Adam. Sometimes your Bible teacher said every 2,000 years there's a change. First 2,000 years is flood. Not quite. A little over 1,500 years from Adam to the flood. So you can't get your pencil and paper and figure out the coming of the Lord by thousands of years or 2,000 year period. There has been different changes. In Noah's day, it had never rained. You know that. Never, never had it rained. It was a different world. I think Gary preached on that here a while back. It was a different world altogether. The moisture came out of the earth, and there was no such thing as a storm cloud. There was no such thing as thunder and lightning and all that. And here's a preacher preaching, you're going to have to get on board this contraption that I've built. God gave me a vision. God gave me an understanding. God warned me that it's going to rain. It's going to rain. And that would be the feeling of most everybody. They feel the same way about you when you tell them about safety in the name of Jesus. They feel that, hey, you're that beautiful with Danny speaking with tongues. Beautiful. Praise God. We don't maneuver our services to where we just have a tongue-talking service. You know that. But we need a little spurt of glory in our midst once in a while. And I don't know how anybody could hear this without saying, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is Jesus. Praise Him. Will you praise Him? Hallelujah. Now, only eight souls. In 1 Peter 3:18, it tells us that it's talking about the Spirit by the Spirit, He, Jesus, preached to the souls in prison, which were sometime disobedient, while the ark was in preparation. To me, that's no big mystery. It's saying that while the ark was being built, and probably about 120 years, because from the time that God told Noah to build the ark, it was 120 years until the flood came. You say, how do you know? Because God said, I've given the man 120 years. Now, it's not talking about a lifespan. It's talking about the time of His mercy from the time He told Noah to build the ark until the time that the rain was going to come down. So I take for granted that he got his hammer and saw and went to work immediately. Got his children and everybody else that helped him. I don't know how he accomplished all this, but I'll assure you that most of the world thought he was a fanatic, silly preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. How would you feel about it? Now, knowing what we know the story, we know the results, we know the flood came, we know the ark landed, we know all the things that happened. But if you'd go back to Noah's time and had you lived, you think you would have joined up? I'm afraid some of us would say it's fanatic. You know, in our ranks we have the radicals and the liberals. I don't call myself a liberal, and neither do I call myself a radical. And I don't want you to call me a radical, and I don't want you to call me a liberal. But please just say Brother Rutledge believes the truth. If he's ignorant of something, it is absolutely through ignorance. Because I tell you tonight, I'm testifying to you, I want to go all the way with the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you have walked up that gangplank with all those animals? I read in a little book at Ham and Japheth, maybe Shem, said, why don't we fish? There's plenty of water. And the other one said, but we only have two worms. But all the time that animals were going, did you realize they're going to have to live a whole year on that ark with all those animals? I heard someone debating this some time ago, and they said, how in the world could it have happened? And somebody else said, I don't know how it happened, but I know what could have happened. God could have put them in a state of recession. He could have just put them to sleep like an old hibernating bear for a whole year and just let them pine away and live on their own fat. He could have done it. I don't know whether he did or not, but I'm convinced there was an ark, there was a flood, there was Noah and his daughters and his sons-in-law, and they were saved. 8 souls are saved. A woman across the street from where I live was preaching a revival, and I went over to hear her one night. She was preaching from 1 Peter 3:18. Of course, she thought that Jesus went to hell. She said he went to hell and had a 3-day revival. And then she read too far, or quoted too far. She said, for him 8 souls are saved by water. That killed her message. Because the last I heard about that place called hell, there's no water down there. There's not going to be any baptismal services down there. Amen. They couldn't even get one drop of water to go on a man's tongue who said, I'm tormented in this flame. There's not going to be any revivals in hell. That's the reason we want revivals now. Praise His name. Praise His name. Would you get on board? Well, someone said, I'm afraid of those animals. Some folks are afraid of the presence of God. It was Steve. What a beautiful testimony Brother Steve gave this morning. Steve Kimball. But he said what he had heard about Pentecostalism, he was scared of it. I visited a man several years ago whose name was Thomas. He used to sell cars for Grover Scruggs. And something was said about Pentecostalism, and I said, Mr. Thomas, have you ever been to a Pentecostal service? He said, yes, one time. He said, we went to Monticello so many years ago, and it was a Brush Arbor type meeting. He said, we went in, and he said, I told my wife, now let's sit in the center of the seat. I've heard these folks will come back and try to drag you to the altar. I've also heard that they pour stuff on you. Well, we do sometimes. We're rather conservative with this. One bottle lasts us a long time, but Bishop Street, while he was living, he'd pour it on top of their head. One black woman came over there one night to be prayed for. I was there, and she had a swollen jaw, toothache, I guess, and he poured his hand full of oil, and he just bathed her jaw real good. It just shined so black and shiny, you know. I guarantee you we wouldn't have some of you in the prayer line if we poured it on your hairdos. But we'd do it if the Word told us to. I mean, John May, when you were sick a few days ago, if you'd have been convinced that that was the Word, pour it on my head, you'd have said, pour it on me. Hallelujah. We just want what God has for us. Am I right? I'm afraid of Pentecostalism. This Mr. Thomas said that night, said they sat in the center of the seat where nobody wouldn't come back and pour anything on them or drag them forward. And he said they started singing and shouting. Now, he told me this. He said, here came that preacher, and he got on top of the benches, and he came right back toward us and ran right over us. And we were scared to death. And he said, I've never gone back. Now, I doubt if that was really the way it happened. But if it did happen that way, that still does not change the fact, but what if men will repent and be buried with Him in baptism, they shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's just that simple and that plain and that real. Would you have gotten in the ark? Some didn't. Only 8 did. The majority of the world died screaming, clawing, begging, let me in, let me in. You can't imagine the truth of that story. When the rain began to fall and the thunder was rolling, Noah had already been shut in for 7 days waiting on the move of God. And when the rain began to come down and the thunder was rolling and the lightning was flashing, it was not only rain, the fountains of the earth were open and water was gushing up and water was coming down and a flood like you've never heard of since. Would you? Well, we'll see tonight. If you will not do something about what you know to do now, you probably wouldn't have gotten on the ark. Listen to Abraham. God said, Abram, I'm going to change your name. I'm satisfied with my name. I'm going to change your name to Abraham. And then he gave him a command to leave his family. Abraham was a wealthy man, extremely wealthy. Leave his homeland, leave his family. Go to a place that I will show thee. Where you want me to go? I'll show you. Not today, not tomorrow, but you walk and I'll show you. Praise the Lord. So he went, not staggering at the promises of God. He went where God told him to go. Would you? Would you go if God said go? Some of us would question, is that you, Lord? Are you sure, Lord? But nevertheless, Abraham went at the voice of God, not staggering at the promises of God. Let's come to the New Testament. There was Matthew who sat in the seat of customs. He was a tax collector. He was a public official. He belonged to the people of that day. And the Lord passed by and said, I want you to be my disciple. Now, had you been Matthew, I think here's living evidence. He can work for the state and still live for God. Amen. You can sell cars and you can still live for God. A preacher told me the other day about one of his members that all he quit is never any good anyhow. You can imagine who I was talking to. He never was any good anyhow. Said he was a car salesman. Said, sir, a car salesman can't be saved. But you can. Hallelujah, you can. Someone said you have to lie to be a merchant. Eldon, but you don't. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to be wrong. You can be right. And any, you can even be a preacher and be saved.
That's right.
However, I go to a few meetings where they say preachers only, no saints allowed.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But Matthew was told, follow me and I'll make you, along with Peter, James, and John, I'll make you a disciple that will go out and win souls. He left his money gathering and he went to follow after the Lord. Would you? Amen. Now let's think in terms of who's our county clerk. Is that still Fertizzi? Is he still our county something? Y'all don't know much about that. I don't know anything. Assessor. Same paper. He writes it down, somebody else collects it. Mr. Brazel, whatever his name is, the sheriff, he'll come and get you if you don't pay your taxes and so far. He'll sell your property. You just think you own something. You're just kind of getting by with it with the state. If you don't pay your taxes, you're going to be in trouble for long. Do you think that the sheriff will hear this gospel? He hasn't so far. Do you think that Wayne Matthews, the prosecuting attorney, of course he's a Catholic, but do you think you'd get anywhere talking to him about Jesus' name, baptism, turning from sin? I mean, I count him as a friend, funny enough that I've talked to him about a few cases and got a little help from him, but I don't think that he's a prime prospect. I don't think he's a prime prospect for truth. I feel like he's kind of satisfied where he is. But I've never yet been in a place that I can say I'm satisfied where I am. I want to move on and move on and move on from victory to victory, from faith to faith, until I hear the Lord say, well done. There was Peter, James, and John. These fellows were fishermen. Don't look down on them. They made a living at it. And that's about all anybody can do. Incidentally, the steak you eat is the same type of cow meat that the head of the state eats. Maybe have a little different trimmings. May cost more money. The lights may be different. But if you're living, you have a lot to be thankful for. We have witnessed to Mr. Clinton, the governor. Not me, but we have. Our camp meeting has spoken to him. Brother Bayer has preached to him. Other preachers has preached to him. Brother Hardin has witnessed to him. Brother Lumpkin has witnessed to him. But has he accepted this? Not yet.
No.
Don't hold your breath either.
No.
Because there are certain things that keep people from walking with God.
Yeah.
If you were the governor, would you come to the apostolic church? I thought about running, but I don't guess I'd get it. But I'm going to tell you one thing, that wouldn't change my faith in God. God's Word would still read the same way. If you were mayor of our city, she's been here, I don't know what all she thought about us, but she acted like she liked us the nicest here. And Knox Nelson has been here and all that, but that's not enough. Who'll get on board? Who'll get up from their seat of custom and say, I'll follow thee? Who is it that'll drop your nets at the command of Jesus and say, I want to become a fisherman of man? Praise God. Would you obey God today? Let's stand together. And whatever state of life that you're in, we hope that you'll come forth and give yourself completely to the Lord. Give yourself completely to the Lord. Will you? Would you? Will you obey God tonight? Praise God.
Come
and pray if you have any need.
You in the blood.
Amen.
For the storm.
For the storms are raging high. Oh, hide you in the blood. Till the danger pass you by. Oh, come from this loathsome way of sin. Hide you in the blood. Of Jesus, come, for the Lord will take you in. Oh, hide you in the blood
of Jesus.
Sing it.
Oh, hide you in the blood. Hide you in the blood.
For the storm is
raging high.
Raging high. Together around the altar standing. Let's close this service with prayer. Everybody get a hold of God and ask God to smile upon us with His blessings, with His power. Call on the Lord. While there's yet time, call on the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise your name. Praise your name.